Hey everyone, just a heads up at the top for this show. We actually had a guest sit in, but we'll introduce him a few minutes in, so don't be confused if you hear another voice. That's about it. Enjoy the show.
Hey, you're listening to Drunkards and Dragons. This is episode 6.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah.
Have a good.
Yeah.
Craven, I have no dick. Yeah.
Straight up ass.
All right, so we have to actually consciously try not to talk over each other.
Right. Like, we can't have three threads going at the same time. We need to have one thread.
Separate microphones. It's extremely hard to cut out things when everybody's talking over each other.
Got it.
Ooh, I
so
feel
like
so if I talk over Kaido right now, it's bad.
Not good.
I mean, if you interrupt me,
I see. I got it.
If you interrupt
Let's
me,
just
that,
go play again.
If you're
it's fine. We got it.
Be aggressive, Kaido.
Be assertive.
No, because right,
if you
actually.
I know how you feel.
All right.
Okay,
all right,
I'm
all
down.
Right.
Let's
go.
Go. Okay. So, last time on Drunkards and Dragons. All right. So, we were in the middle of a fight at the top of the stairs. Went up a spiral. The goddamn bird figured out that there were some people up there. We started fighting some shit.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Kill yourself. I'll
no,
do
the
intro.
The bird went
up there, saw the door. We went up in the door. Kriv went in, and you went, and Baron went in. They started fighting some shit. Baron was being a dick. Me and Anisopter were sitting in the back, light shit up.
This is why we don't let Sully talk. Because this is Sully Vision right
world.
Now.
This is the worst
fucking
one.
Sully
Vision. By far the worst intro ever.
I actually kind of even like it.
Just do it.
Okay,
do it.
Last time on Drunkards and Dragons, the four adventurers just traveled up a spiral staircase and located the main bad guy, who we now have come to determine is a necromancer. We tried and converse with the necromancer to find out why exactly he imprisoned us. However, Baron decided to charge headfirst and just start attacking him, which left poor Kriv to get his face punched in by the half-orc, now a zombie, made by said necromancer.
You're not a zombie. What the fuck?
No, the half-orc was, dumbass.
Oh, okay.
After a rough battle, we were able to defeat the necromancer thanks to Sully and his magic.
Straight carry.
And Baron's ability to hold the necromancer where he's at.
You're forgetting my arrows.
And Anisoptera's arrows.
Thank you.
And Kriv did jack shit. Now
you got punched in the face a lot.
I got punched in the face.
You got punched
a
in the face
ton.
A lot.
Now the four adventurers have killed the necromancer, have no idea why they were imprisoned, and are in the necromancer study. Kriv trying to read a book, Anisoptera mad at Kriv for just going in and reading the book without taking her advice.
Well, I also
let's start this thing.
I also
off.
Got really depressed that last episode. If you guys remember, I was like went through deep depression when I touched that door, so there was something magical going on.
Most important part, Sally opened the door. Figured out the way to open the door.
No one cares. You're a piece of shit.
Nobody cares.
Right.
Question, why
because
did you guys...
You figured out
how to open the door completely by coincidence.
All the black dice are mine, by the way.
Pen man. Why did you guys kill the necromancer, like, immediately?
Because Baron charged in while we were asking questions.
And he started
questions.
Fighting the necromancer.
Baron charged in and just started, like...
Is it fair to say that was a mistake?
Yes.
It was a mistake.
We should also mention that Moogle is sitting in on this week. He's not playing,
but he's
just sitting
in.
We have an inland champ sitting with us today. Mm-hmm. And,
it's the director of security, if I'm not mistaken.
And he may chime in every now and then and make comments at how we're doing.
Hopefully less often than more often.
I see. Whatever.
All right, so you guys are all at the entrance of the necromancer's lab. You finished, or like you killed him. You are in his lab. You're about to go into his office. Kriv has walked over to his desk because there is an open book on his desk, and has started reading the book.
Attempted to start reading it.
So you like go into his office, and you go to his desk, and I guess the rest of you are standing at the entrance of the office, or have like walked a little bit into his office.
Anisoptera silently giving me the middle finger.
Yeah, I'm really angry. Wait, there's a safe in there, right?
Okay, so his office.
I want to go to the safe.
Giving a plan, and I just kind of walked in.
So recap: the office itself has a desk in the center that has a book on it and some like shoveled papers around it. There is the necromancer's like bed is off to the side, to the left. With a small end table. There's like a small wardrobe there, and directly behind his his desk is a relatively large safe.
Safe. I want to go with safe.
Okay. First, we're going to go with the book, because he said it first.
I said it first.
Okay, fine.
Okay, so you go up to the necromancer, or you go up to the table, and on the table is a, it's like a notebook, and the notebook is opened to a page with like a quill in the middle, and this is what you find, a sheet of, or like
the
a
notebook.
Journal entry already started.
Cool.
Read it.
Should I read it aloud?
Yes.
You guys good with that? I'm not going to get cursed when I read this, am I?
Can you read it? Is he actually... Are you in character reading aloud?
Okay.
He should be in character. He's reading... If he's
unless
reading
you,
aloud.
Unless you state that you are out of character, you're in character.
Fair enough.
All right, I'll read this in character.
Now, are you saying that in character?
I am.
But... Okay.
Okay, so this is not all that's in the book.
Inception.
The book itself is open to, like, the middle, and this is the page that it's open to.
His name's really Norman?
Oh,
Norman
that's
the
so
mech-
cute.
That's not cute.
Oh,
Kano,
that's like
what the fuck?
Language.
I didn't do it.
You killed him.
You killed Norman.
I'm
you killed
Stephanie. If you get a
Norman, Norman the Necromancer.
Entry 27.
Why not?
The book of Norman the Necromancer.
Oh, that's
I get
so
it.
Cute.
I get it.
It has been weeks since our last failure.
Love it.
And the lingerers from those failures have all seemed to have dispersed, perhaps in search of themselves.
Chris,
what?
Why are you reading so fucking dramatically?
Because fuck you.
He's
that's
in character,
why.
Dude.
Would you? That's not in character.
Can I please read it? Because you're reading in a very dramatic, weird voice.
I agree. I actually agree.
Fuck you guys. I have my ass kicked.
He,
all right,
was,
ass
he was doing fine.
Right. He was doing
entry
fine.
27, the
it
Book
awesome.
Of Norman the Necromancer.
I love it.
It has been weeks since our last failure, and the lingers from those failures have all seemed to have dispersed. Perhaps in search of themselves. I can't say I am not elated by their departure. Their constant wailing had become a nuisance. The process, however, is close to perfect. It appears that the shards are still unstable. A small amount of magical prodding and proximity to their original form causes total reversion, though this shouldn't be hard to correct. The most recent shipment has been an odd one. A dragonkin, a dwarf, and two elves. Ooh.
Dragonborn.
I've yet to test the procedure on their kind, though if the results are anything like that which I had with the orcish brute, I will be rather pleased. His ferocity, though total obedience, oh, through total obedience, is quite, and then it's scratched out. Remar? It's R-E-M-A-R. It seems there is a disturbance on the lower floor. I will complete the report when the matter is resolved. This should be good training exercise for my new pet. Guys, I think he's talking about us.
He did mention us. He also mentioned the orc.
He called me a dragonkin. I'm actually a dragonborn.
I go up to the book and I take his quill.
Okay. The quill's lying in the middle of that page.
Okay.
The book is the book's open to like a middle page, and that's the
okay.
page that's
well,
open
I
to.
I take the quill.
Okay. There's a quill.
And I look around to see if there's any magical tomes.
Okay.
Question. Are
there
any
is...
lights in this room?
Yes.
Turn it off.
Why?
Like a light switch.
No.
It's the Book of Norman. Like anybody?
It's okay.
Nobody
it's
gets
fine.
That.
You'll be the only person.
He got it.
You'll be the only person who gets it.
I bet you
because
other people
I wrote it.
Get it. I bet you
and nobody else will get it.
I bet you other people will get
Do
it.
Do I see the chest or the safe when I walk in?
The safe is in the back. She, Anisoptra has already walked towards the safe.
She was reading the book.
She read the book
that,
after.
That's by the safe.
Okay,
yeah.
She took the book off of you.
And so she just starts walking over to the safe and reading?
Yeah.
Okay, what else is in the room?
The room has, like I said, it has the bed. It has a wardrobe. It has a... Alright, there's a bookshelf off to the left side with a few books on it. There is the safe behind the desk. There is the desk. And the desk itself has the book on it, the journal. Open to entry 27. It has a few like papers scattered around it, and it has a few drawers in it.
Okay. Are there any visible liquids in the room?
No.
I'll call
okay.
out to
Sally. Wait.
Fine, go ahead, I don't care.
I go to inspect the dresser.
Okay. The wardrobe?
Yeah.
Alright, so you open up the wardrobe, and inside it just has, like, a few robes, and...
It's actually really clever. From Chris.
Take a... make a perception check.
20!
Alright, 20. So you, like, feel around inside the wardrobe, and you're, like, you give it, like, a good search over. You're, like, pushing the robes out of place, and you're, like, feeling around. And you feel that there is, like a small compartment on the side that is, like, loose. You're, like, feeling up and down the walls, and you feel, like, a small compartment that's loose.
Okay. I jimmy the loose compartment.
All right, you open it up, and there's a slip of paper on it that has three sets of numbers.
Hey, guys, I found some fucking numbers or something. What did the numbers say?
Are they 4, 8, 16, 24?
They are not.
they say 12, 8, 17.
What's up?
Okay. I look around the room, and I notice the safe.
Right.
And I notice Anna Software trying to open the safe. And I give her the slip of paper and say, hey, this might be useful to you.
Hey, I think you're right. I bet this is a combination to the safe. Let's give it a try. So I try and open the safe with those numbers.
Okay, you put in the combination and the safe just opens up.
Yeah! Alright, I open it up and inside I see...
inside the safe you see... you find a scroll of paper. You find a little bag with 32 platinum in it and a moonstone. And you find on the bottom shelf of the safe is a long jewelry box.
All right, I will hand the scroll of paper to Bairn, since I think he's the closest to me, and just pass it off to him and try and open the jewelry box.
All right, you...
While she's doing this, I'll walk over and say, what'd you find?
I found this scroll of paper, which I just gave to Bairn, some mysterious jewelry box that is closed, some money, and a moonstone.
Here. Give me the money, I'll put it in my bag, and let's find out what's in the jewelry box.
You open up the jewelry box, it doesn't have, like, a lock on it or anything, you open it up, and there is it's like a row, there's about 16 gems inside. They're identical to the gem that the necromancer picked up the first time, to, like, when he, like, was hovering over the body. And unlike the gem that he was holding, they are all glowing.
So, do I notice the glow if I'm sitting at the
Hey, Sally, get over here for a sec. I got
Like when she opens it up, it's not like a bright, like, right, brilliant glow, but it's just it's a vague, I believe it's a blue glow.
Okay.
I'll call Sally over to ask her, with all your magical training, can you tell what these are?
I take the box from them.
Okay.
I'll keep an eye on her.
I go back to the desk and I sit down.
I try and figure out
if there's any sort of magic embedded in them.
How are you determining this?
I'm sitting down, concentrating, and try and catch any sort of whiff of magical energy.
Okay, you can't cast Detect Magic in this area again, because you've already cast it this turn. You have to have an extended rest before you can cast it again.
Okay.
So you can just gleam off the gems, or you can attempt to figure out a different way to like, you can just look at them and like just kind of search the gems, or you can try to figure out a different way to figure out if the gems, like, what the gems are.
Okay, I will take one out and close the box.
Okay.
Put the box in my bag.
Okay.
And take one, and I say, Dragonborn, come over here.
What's up?
I go back out into where we were just fighting, go to one of the minions, and I put the gem on his chest.
What of the minions?
One of the shitty, weak minions that was, like, we just killed in, like, one hit.
Minions is a funny word.
I go up to that guy, I think it was like a skinny, skeleton sort of looking...
Okay, like one of the zombies.
Yeah.
One of the, like, zombie kind of
guys. I put the gem
guys.
on its chest or whatever, and I stand back and I see what happens.
So he's like Iron Man.
You put the gem on the chest, and you stand back, and nothing happens.
The heck are you doing over here?
Just stand here just in case. I'm trying to figure out what's in here.
You try and bring back a zombie...
I'm just going to see what's in here.
There are still,
it may or may not come back to life.
Inside, there are still some of the, like... There are still the four? Three cages, I believe. There were three cages. Mm-hmm. Inside of the, inside of that lab that still have people inside of them that are just kind of, like, sitting there. And then there are the two zombies that were fighting you, plus the orc zombie.
Are Baron still in the room together? Because I want to know what his paper is.
While they're out in the hall, I call to Anisoptera and say, hey, lady, you know that scroll?
Yeah.
That was a map.
Cool, let's go there.
can you really decipher this? I hand it to you.
All right, look, no, totally. This is the guy with the gem in the middle. We gotta go to this way.
To this way.
There's something there. And there's something there. Something over there. That's a lake and some trees.
You realize that we have no bearings whatsoever, right?
It says north. There's a little compass at the top. It shows north going this way. So we gotta travel.
Okay, out of character.
West for a little bit.
Like, sun sets in the same way as it normally does, right?
Rising east.
So. Okay.
With a high enough knowledge nature check, you can decipher north.
Okay.
What do you think this weird diamond-shaped thing is with two dots?
I'm really not sure. Like, that's a really strange symbol to me. I try to decipher it.
Okay.
So that's an int check.
So if you want to try and decipher the map itself, I will say that you're going to have the Dungeoneering skill.
Okay.
You're going to attempt to use Dungeoneering to decipher the map.
I have a six in my
G20. Or to decipher the like symbols that are on the map.
I have a six
in
Dungeoneering. All right, so Dungeoneering check?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, cool. 13 plus 4, 17.
Okay. You make it. All right, so you decipher the symbol on the lower right-hand corner of the map is the symbol that you've encountered before, and it's the symbol of the person with the circle cut out of the middle of its chest. Like, it's like a black symbol of a person down here, if you see that.
Yeah.
So you can decipher that that has something to do with the symbol that you found. And also, the symbol is underneath a hill, or it's a hill. Then you see that the trail leads through some trees, so you can assume that the trail would lead through a forest to the north, because that's the direction the map is pointing in.
Right.
And then you see a lake off to the west of the trail, so you assume that, like, if you follow the trail, you'll eventually see a lake to the west, and the trail leads to a small, like, a town that shows a house. Off to the northeast of the house is a mountain that has a... it looks like there's a crack in the mountain, and there's a like a hole that you think may be a cave. And then you don't really know what the symbol itself is, but it looks like a diamond or like a gem with eyes.
Okay.
So you don't really know what the symbol itself relates to, but you can identify the symbol.
What is the symbol of the guy with the hole missing?
The one that Sally found.
Yeah, you don't know exactly what the symbol is, but you know that you've seen it. Every person that you've encountered here who has been of the, like, opposite faction, I guess, like anybody who's been an enemy here, has worn that symbol as a patch on their chest.
I see. Okay. So I've seen it before.
So you've seen the symbol before. Okay. It's almost identical to the symbol that you've seen.
So I'm pretty sure this guy with a circle on his chest, like, that's where we are. Because I've seen guys around here, they have that patch on their chest. I don't know why, but they do. So, like, there's a trail, there's... We go through a forest, past a lake. There's a house at the end. I don't know what this diamond thing is. I have no idea. Like, it's a diamond with eyes. That's as far as I know. There's also a cave. It's got a trail, maybe, into mountains.
I say, let's go to that house first. That's my vote. Follow the trail.
Okay. All right. So, Selly and Criff, you guys are outside in the lab, and you're just like... Right. Playing around with dead bodies.
So
no, I'm not playing around. I'm watching this bitch try and reanimate a zombie so I can kill it.
Okay, I don't think that this is another necromancy thing, and I'm going to need to look into this more. So I'm going to take the jewel box out, put the gem back in, close and put it back in my bag.
Okay.
How about you try and give some kind of scan to see if they are actually magical?
It's quite draining. I can't do that right now. Let's worry about it later. Let's just try and get out of here for now.
Fair enough. Okay, let's try and reconvene with those two, see what they found out.
I'm going to go back into the office, and I'm going to look at the bookshelf to see if there's any tomes that teach any magic.
All right, there's a bunch of different magical tomes.
Maybe Crave should flip through the journal a little bit more.
Hey, maybe...
You can do whatever you want, man.
We're not in the game. John, stop pouring shots!
I haven't.
Hey, just FYI...
That was from when you tapped it.
I think you guys need to get out of your head.
What's it doing this guy?
Most of you, at least, that this isn't a video game.
You keep saying that.
So the things that are presented to you are not all it is.
Yeah, yeah. Who are you addressing with that?
Are you talking to me?
Everyone. I'm talking to everyone.
Everyone. Okay.
I'm not talking to anybody in specific. I'm talking to everyone. But this is not a video game. So the things that are presented to you are not everything.
What the fuck, Kyo? Kyo, sit in the seat properly.
I am. That is the ideal pooping position.
That is a good pooping.
Are you L from Death Note?
No, that's the ideal pooping
position. Is that literally how you poop? You sit up on the toilet seat?
That is the ideal pooping position. Because like right now, like all your tubes are straight. And so
right.
It goes,
that's true. That is ideal.
Yep. Squat bottoms are best.
That's why all countries like east of the middle of Europe have squatting toilets.
Yep. Toilets in the ground.
God, Korea was weird. God, let me tell you a story. Okay, no. One time I went to a restaurant.
It's natural.
I was at a restaurant, right? And I was like, okay, I gotta go poop. And like, I walk into what I think is the bathroom. It's like this room with like walls on all sides, of course. No doors, no nothing, but like a drain, right? And I sat there. I wasn't even like,
no
I
doors.
Wasn't intoxicated or anything. I just stared at it. I was like, am I supposed to like pee on this drain? Like, I looked around. There's fucking nowhere to go. And I was like, I really have to poop. Did they poop a drain? And so like, I looked around. I was just like, no, this can't be true. Like, this can't be the way it is.
Maybe it's considered to be rude
and then,
to,
no,
like, actually
and then, like, I felt, I actually had to, like, feel the walls. Cause, like, and then I found, like, a handle. I was like, okay, here we go. Like, I went to a door, and I was like, wow, I was really close to just pooping and going. Like, it was basically, like, the lobby for the bathroom. Like, I would have just, like, someone would open the door. I would have pinched a loaf, like, right there.
Really, dude?
Yeah, dude. Like, culture clash. I was like, where the, what is this shit? Like,
wait, so they actually had a hidden door that goes
dude,
to the
no,
room?
No, that room, like, that, like, little room I was in had apparently, like, six doors in it. Like, it was a public... Like,
it was like, shit in the middle of all.
Yes.
So the only thing I've deciphered from this is that Koreans are naturally adept to secret doors.
Okay, but remember, their toilets are also. But look, their toilets are also like those squatting toilets, right? So I was like, looking at the drain, I was like, this might just be like a really creepy version of that.
Let's get back to the game.
Okay.
You find? Are you look at the bookshelf? There are a few books on the bookshelf. Some of the books, I guess you can search the bookshelf.
Okay. I'm just going to quickly go through. I assume that they their spines out
mm-hmm.
and that there are some words or titles on the backs of the books.
All right.
I look through some, see if there's anything interesting.
I'm not going to make you make a perception check for
okay.
it. You just see them. Like, there's a few books that are, from what you can glean, there's a few books that have, like, there's a few human anatomy books. There's a few books that have to do with, like, there's one book that's called, like, Magic in the Human Soul and stuff like that have to do with, like, magic. There's a few books that have to do with religion and what a, like, quote-unquote soul is and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are some books, like, history books that tell different histories of, like... Because the continent of Dagar, you know, is a... It's, like, a heavily magic continent. You
right.
know this already.
Right.
So, like... So, history of magics and things like that are things that you just kind of know. And they're books that kind of, like, describe the histories of magic.
Right. So, it's all history of magic? There's nothing really that's, like, straight magic other than the Magic and the Dead book?
Mm-hmm. There's some books about magic and the dead, influencing the dead, necromancy books, stuff like that. And there's, like, histories of magic and, like, different magic and different eras and like pioneers
how heavy
of magic
are these books?
Things.
How heavy is the book on necromancy?
There's about a dozen of them, they're probably like 2 pounds each. They're pretty like large tomes.
No, I don't think I'm gonna practice on necromancy. I don't like that. It's bad mojo. I leave the books alone. Go back to his desk. Does he have any drawers on his desk?
There are a few drawers on the sides of the desk.
So I'm gonna go back to his desk, sit down, and go through the drawers.
Okay.
Can I
so while you're going through
the
drawers,
book?
Does anybody else want to do anything?
Yeah, I want to get the book that this Book of Mormon was in, and I want to start flipping through it, but I also have the intention of taking the book with me after
okay.
I'm done flipping through
so
it.
So you pick up the journal, the book that like has that he's writing in, the
his
book
diary
that has like
or whatever.
Yeah. You pick it up off the desk, you notice that it just says journal. Or it has it just looks like a journal. Like it doesn't really have a cover. It doesn't look like a tome. It's like a leather bound. And you start flipping through the pages, and you see that all the pages in the book are written in a cipher.
Mm. You know, I think it'd be really funny if, like it was like a diary, and one of the entries was like, Becky looked at me today. I think she really likes me. I might give her flowers tomorrow.
No, wait. Is Becky the name of a dead person that he is doing?
The name of his crush.
He's a necrophiliac.
His neck is really
crushed. No, I'm thinking of it much more innocently than that.
Actually, it could go hand in hand.
All right, probably both.
Out of character, so there was only one page that was not ciphered.
That's kind of weird.
The page that he was currently writing on was not ciphered.
Yeah, he didn't get the chance to cipher it.
Okay, so he erases it. It goes back and recycles.
Or he casts a magic mumbo jumbo and ciphers it.
C plus.
I see. Okay. That would make sense.
Yeah. Why don't we give it to our handy dandy / arcana check and see what happens with it?
Okay, so back in game.
There we go.
Okay.
I recognize the cipher. So Sally is also on the desk.
So make an insight. I want you to make an insight check just to like see if you really
should it pass or passive insight or just like insight check?
I'm gonna say, you know what? Your passive insight isn't enough.
Alright.
You know that, like, sometimes mages and, like, stuff like that, like, you've encountered them a few times in your travels, sometimes mages will use magic in order to cipher their tomes, but they don't just kind of, like, wave their hand on it and it ciphers. You know that there is a certain code that they usually use to cipher.
But I don't know the code.
You don't know the code. And a lot of times it's different per mage.
All right, well, I'm still just going to do what I was going to do, I guess. I mean, Sally's sitting right next to me, right? Or standing right next to me?
I'm sitting at his desk.
Okay, and I'm at the desk with the book.
And you just took the book from in front of me.
Yeah.
Sure.
So then I'm like, actually, I can't read this, but I think you can, so I put it back in front of you.
Okay, so do I find anything in the drawers?
Okay, so you search through the drawers. I'm just going to use your passive perception. You're just, like, searching through all the drawers. In some of the drawers there are just like random notes and stuff. In one of the drawers you find that there is a key.
A key?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I take the key out and I look at it.
I bet that key goes to the cages.
Yeah, it looks like a skeleton key.
It looks like a skeleton key?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I put it in my pocket and I say, hey guys.
I stop him from putting it in his pocket.
I think you're quite far away. So I put it in my pocket and I say, hey guys.
Am I? Where are you?
I'm sitting at the desk. My legs are in the desk. I don't think you're going to stop me. So I put it in my pocket, and I say, hey guys, I think I found a key.
Okay,
does
my passive insight see her putting it in her pocket?
Metagame.
Do you attempt to hide putting it in your pocket?
Meta.
No, I take it out, and I casually put it in my pocket.
I'm at the vault.
But he just told us, was going to tell us about
it. Are you looking in the vault?
No, I'm just looking around the room, just kind of sitting there, because I don't know what to do.
So you don't... No, you don't notice.
All right.
You don't, offhand notice him put the key in his pocket. You're, like, busy looking around the room.
Okay.
I'll come back to the room and say, what's going on? What have we found?
I take the ink, the ink for the quill, and I pocket that.
Okay, it is in a bottle. You can't pocket it.
Yeah, so I take the bottle and I pocket it.
Okay.
There's no
cork
on the bottle.
You could put the bottle in your pocket, and it spills in your pocket.
Well, why isn't there a cork there?
Because you didn't ask if there was a cork there, and you didn't put a cork on it, and there like is no cork.
I think you were
stop
just
expediting
inked.
And actually RP.
Okay.
You've been inked.
I get upset. I get sad.
I walk in. I see the ink. Do I see the ink if I walk in?
He just poured ink into his
now
pocket.
Now is not a time to cry over spilled ink. Tell us about the key and figure out what this ciphering is. Go.
Wait. Did you just put an open bottle of ink in your pocket?
I thought it was closed.
You're fucking retarded.
I thought it was closed.
I thought you were supposed to be really
Wow.
All right, when I say that, I decide not to tell him about the key.
But I saw you do it. I'm standing right next to you.
Okay.
He has a key in his, or she has a key in her pocket.
What key?
Don't worry about it. It's a key.
No.
It looks like it goes to everywhere in here, maybe? Or just...
It's a skeleton key?
Or maybe just some of the cages out there. We'll figure it out in a minute.
Here, give me the key.
Hold on. Hold on.
Give the dragon guy the key.
Hold on. First things first, let me see if I can figure out what's in this book, and then let me grab one of his robes and change out of mine, and then we will figure out if the key works in those cages.
I think
the dragon guy
is holding a lot of our stuff. I mean, he's got all our gold,
he's got all of our gold.
Right, so I don't know why we're giving him more stuff. No offense, but like, shouldn't we be distributing the possessions
he's got
throughout
all
ourselves?
I honestly don't
care.
It
sounds like socialism. I don't know. Really
like Baron doesn't give a shit. Crib has all of the gold.
Yeah.
I just said if I could hold on to I can hold on to the gold if you want, and you guys all said okay.
Yeah, but
he
then
said,
you like, I
he
want
said
the
he
key.
Would give it back out later.
Yeah.
So like I'm okay with holding
it
right now.
Okay. So
okay, are you gonna try and decipher the
We're
book?
Trying to redistribute
yes.
the wealth.
Okay. We are going to go into a skill challenge.
Okay.
The way that the skill challenge works...
How does it work? Dungeon Master, please
shut
tell
your
us.
Whore mouth.
I am not a whore, and I don't have a whore mouth.
Do you want to give Kaido a haircut?
Who doesn't want to give Kaido a haircut?
I want to give myself a haircut. I feel like this is too long.
What do you guys think of Chris's haircut? I really like it.
It's fine.
It's adorable.
Makes him look like Michael Cera.
When I get a haircut, I kind of want to do something where, like, I shave. Like, I like, buzz the side of my hair, maybe. And then have, like...
You can pull it off.
Really this is, care. Like, really cute. You guys are talking about your hair
again. I'm trying to put out a weekly podcast, and I got this shit.
I don't know. I'll try to find a picture of what I want, and I'll send it.
No, I can tell you right now. It's Hitler Youth. It's just, like, a style of haircut that was popular while Hitler was a guy.
I was considering Hitler Youth when I got my haircut.
I don't even know what the Hitler Youth haircut looks
like. It's basically just like slightly longer on top and like completely shaved on the sides.
Right. I want that haircut
like
also.
This?
I'm being sarcastic.
Okay, we're gonna do something called skill challenges.
What skill
challenge? The way this skill challenge works is that you all will together use your skills to attempt to complete an obstacle. You like deciphering a book, for instance, or like determining a trap, trying to find your way through the wilderness, different things like that. These are things that are prevalent in the game itself. In 4E, skill challenges are a very prevalent thing. The way they work is they get set to a level, like a complexity level, and the level determines how many successes you have to get before you get a certain number of failures. If you get that those amount of failures before the successes, you fail the skill challenge and you do not determine that information at the time.
Excellent.
So,
excellent.
This is going to be an easy one. This is going to be a complexity one. So you have to get 4 skill successes before 2 failures.
Okay.
You have multiple options as a character. Your character can either attempt to use one of your skills to glean the information that you're trying to figure out. You can attempt to pass your turn and not do anything. Or you can attempt to assist another character. Every turn, there's going to be turns. Each person's going to have an initiative, and they will act in that initiative. Every turn, you will say that your character does one thing or the other. You can only assist once per turn. You can only use a skill check once per turn. I am going to go off the books and say that you guys can use your skills, any skills for this. So, like, even if the skill isn't pertaining to the kind of thing that you're trying to figure out, you can use it, but you yourself have to justify what your character is doing. Even skills that pertain to the task at hand, you still have to say, I'm going to use this skill, and this is how I'm going to use it. And then you're going to roll your check. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Shall we roll initiative?
You're going to roll initiative.
Really?
Oh. So can I intimidate the boss?
It's not going to be a modified initiative. It's just going to be a straight-up initiative. You roll your dice, everybody tells me what the roll you get, and I will write it down.
Alright, so we don't add our initiative.
Nope, it's not going to be modified. Unmodified.
So it's just like straight roll.
Straight roll.
I roll 16, I have 16.
Alright, roll the fucking dice.
Correct.
What'd I get? 11?
17.
Alan?
14.
Steph?
11.
John?
16.
Wait, you rolled a 4.
Nope, it was 11.
I saw
it.
Okay. So, Kaido, you're first. Initiative.
All right.
So the way that it works, you say, I'm going to use this skill, or I'm going to hold, or I'm going to assist. So are you going to use a skill, or are you going to hold until somebody else does something, or are you going to assist?
I'm going to hold.
So the way that it works now is, like, Sally's decided, all right, guys, I think I'm going to try and figure out what this cipher is in this book. Baron acts first. He decides to...
I'm going to hold.
All right, so...
Hold for what? Does he have this?
He's just gonna hold.
I can just hold. Okay, good.
Okay, John.
I'm going to try and assist Sally in ciphering the book using history.
Okay, so are you gonna use history to attempt to decipher the book, or are you going to assist Sally? Because those are different things.
Because
when you assist the character, you have to use the same skill check.
I'm just gonna use history on the book from what I read and try and.
So
decipher.
How are you gonna use history?
Because I am encrypted.
So the way that my skill checks are going to work is if you say, I'm going to use this skill, you have to justify it. I'm going to use history, and I'm going to attempt to do this.
I am going to examine, or I'm going to think of all the books that I've read so far, and examine all the books that I've read on ciphering, if I've read books so far on that, and I'm going to try and determine from what I've read if these ciphers correlate to what I've read about.
Okay.
That fun?
Yeah.
That'd be history?
That would be history.
Sure. He's read history, like, you know, he has a history and he's going to try and use his history of ciphers in order to determine what kind of cipher this is.
In my drunken way of what I just said, he determined it better.
Right.
Okay, 15 plus 9, 24.
Okay, so you determine that this cipher is a word cipher. That the cipher, that, like, each letter in this cipher corresponds to a different letter, and so it's a cipher that can be determined by words. So that's a success. That's one success.
Okay.
All right, Alan.
I'm going to use my arcana abilities. Try and figure out what sort of magic has encrypted these pages.
Okay.
Oh, natural 20.
Natural 20 plus 9 plus 8.
Okay, so you use your arcana and you decipher, like, you're able to decipher that, like, after John telling you that, oh, this seems to be a word cipher. You decipher, or you figure out that, like, that the word cipher was put into place magically. And you think that there is a way that you can use your magic to reverse it, but you aren't quite sure yet.
Okay.
So that's another success. So, Anisoptra, what are you going to do?
I'm going to help. I'm going to make a perception check because I would like to look around and try and figure out, kind of like a detective, I guess, like what the necromancer's personality or interest may be to try and figure out what something he would use for a cipher.
Okay, so you're going to use your perception in order to determine, see if you can find something like of special value to the necromancer that would have to do with the cipher.
Man.
Okay, what is the roll?
7 plus 6, so 13. That's not very good.
Okay, you pass. It's easy DC. The DCs in this are super fucking easy, especially for, like...
So is that 3 passes total now?
That's 3 successes. Woo-hoo! All right, so you like, search through his papers, and you search through his drawer, through his end table, and, like, through the books that are, like, some of the books that are on a shelf, and you find a few books that pertain to... what you read in the entry, like that a few notes that pertain to shards or gems and a few notes that pertain to subjects, and you think that sections of the journal may have something to do with these notes, and so you like say, hey, look at these notes, these may have something to do with it. Alright, Justin, your turn.
I remember back to my experience in crawling through dungeons with other people and seeing runes all over the walls and...
Hobbit. Go ahead.
I haven't even seen The Hobbit.
That's more like...
I haven't even seen The Hobbit.
It is an excellent movie.
It's and you, more like
it
was Gollum, a privilege,
but I've never seen it. I've never seen it. You can't even, like, fucking argue that.
You read it.
So,
read it.
I did not. I actually did not.
He doesn't know how to read.
I know how to read. I have not read the book.
I doubt
you
it.
You should read it.
Debatable.
It's on the shelf.
If you didn't
it's
have
fine,
a computer, you
can...
wouldn't have know how to read. You would open a piece of
That's
paper.
That's not true. That's
that
not true.
Would
man.
Actually be called a book, by the way. And you'd be like,
"Man,
what
I...
the fuck does this thing
what
do?
What the fuck are you talking about?
Where's the on switch,
dude? I am fucking going to school. I don't care what you say.
The books
man.
Light right. up.
So that's it. I go back. I try to remember like my experiences delving through dungeons with other people. Them deciphering the runes on the walls, and I try to remember as many characters translatable as I possibly can.
Are you a spelunker?
A spelunker?
A spelunker.
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 Not necessarily,
no, I think
not write necessarily caves.
Spelunker.
Not necessarily caves, but definitely dungeons.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead and roll.
All right.
That's a horrible movie.
10 plus 4, 14.
Also, you have a box.
Okay.
That you throw at me.
You try to, like, remember, like, back when you've, any time that you've been in a dungeon, you're like, alright, so I've seen runes before, I've seen some kind of ciphers before, and you try to, like, think of these ciphers, and you try to match them up with the ciphers that are in the book, and they don't quite match up. You're like, okay, so, like, the ciphers that I've seen before, they don't really match the ciphers that are in this book. That was a failure.
I see.
Okay.
Excellent.
Hello, blog.
Alan, your turn.
He gets 2 turns?
It's going back to start initiative.
I see.
And right. You were technically start initiative, but I'm not going to let you go twice.
That's
so
fine.
Pass, pass, pass.
Pass who?
Failure.
No.
So we have to get 4 passes
Before two failures.
Before two failures.
So,
so we get two failures. Do we get a chance to get four passes, or are we just done?
If you get two failures, I'm going to determine what happens.
I see. Okay.
So I noticed I was starting to kind of figure out what was going on.
Okay.
So
like Anisoptera shows you. Okay. So like so you determined some. You knew about like magic and the way that magic works, and you know that these ciphers were made magically.
Right.
Kriv tells you that, like, all right, so I've seen ciphers like this in the past, and this is how I think they're done. And so he tells you some things, and then Anisoptera's like, all right, so these, I found some of his notes, and they seem to have something to do with the kind of research he was doing. So this may have something to do with the ciphers. So you're almost there. You're kind of, like, almost figuring out what the cipher is to the book, but you're not quite... You haven't quite deciphered the magic.
Okay,
and
so,
Baron's whacking his head into a wall.
So
you can use the same skill multiple rounds.
Okay, so gathering all this information, like I see, like, it says like word, like I'm trying to decipher the word ciphers. I'm looking through these other books. They're trying to give me some clues about some gems and some other stuff I see, and I just keep channeling some my arcane energy and try and force my way through this this code.
Okay, all right.
14.
Okay. You take all the information that you have at hand, you start to like focus on this book, and eventually something clicks in you and you know it. And you successfully decipher the magic that's like kind of holding password over this book.
Okay.
And you can, like, you like, know the incantation, the ritual that was used to decipher the magic in the book. You,
mm-hmm.
you kind of, like, learn it as you're going and as you're trying to decipher this thing. And to you, the words just kind of start to make sense.
Just to me?
Just to you.
Excellent.
So you decipher the book.
Excellent.
The book, as you're reading through the book, it explains to you... The procedure that he used, it seems that it, like, is... it's mostly detailed. Each entry... there's 26 entries before the entry that was yet to be ciphered. Each entry shows a little bit further into the procedure. It seems that he was using these gems. You don't know, like, what kind of gems they were or, like, how he was using them. But you know that, like, he was using these gems and through some kind of... Some... like magical power, he was siphoning souls or siphoning essences from people and putting them into the gems. The gems were being used as like a prison for people's essences,
like
individual
soul
souls.
Gems in Skyrim.
So like soul gems in Skyrim.
Sure,
that's what it is, basically.
Yeah,
or
basically
like warper or like warlock soul gems.
Sorry, did I just
ruin everything. The whole entire mystery.
As long as you don't metagame that, you'll be fine. Don't metagame
so,
that.
So, I mean, none of you really know this. It's just, Selly's just kind of like, he just like goes into kind of a trance.
I was
and he
just
starts
relating
reading
it
the book.
To something I understood.
That's fine.
He just goes into like a trance and starts like reading. He like, you see him just like start flipping through the book and like reading certain passages. And like, he like looks like he's like mouthing words as he like goes, or as she goes through it. It kind of like shows you the procedure.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it shows you that you just determined from the page that it wasn't deciphered that maybe there's a way to reverse it if you can do it correctly, meaning you can power some of your, like, if you have a magic, if you are like in tune with magical ability, you can use your magical ability in order to reverse the process. If you choose the right gem and the right subject. And,
by reverse the process, does he mean the people stuck in the cages? Or the dead people on the floor? And bring them back to, like, regular life or zombie life? Or do I not... Can I not tell the difference?
Okay, so from entry 27, the one that wasn't ciphered, is that there are two different ways that the procedure has worked. One is that the souls themselves were siphoned into the shards. The shards prisoned the souls, and they were the subject themselves became completely docile and obedient,
right.
Almost husks of the former selves. The second was that they weren't siphoned into the souls and that they were lost. That the essences of these people
didn't get absorbed by the gem.
They weren't imprisoned in the gemmed, and so they were lost.
Okay.
And they just were like forced out of their own bodies, and the bodies themselves turned into something else that wasn't an empty husk.
Okay. So I finished reading it. Okay, guys, I finished reading it. This is pretty dark stuff. This is real, real black magic. And we need to burn this book so no one ever reads it again. Because there is some awful stuff in here.
Should we keep the pages?
Okay. Also,
no.
End of each... You see that, like, for some reason, at the end of each page, he seems to be, like, signing off to someone. Like, he's not doing this, at keeping it as a journal for himself. But even at the end of, at like, entry 27, at all the other entries, he seems to be signing off to someone. Like, he sent, like, this isn't a journal for him. It's a journal that he's keeping for someone else.
Okay. Yeah. This thing needs to be burned. It needs to burn right now.
You've got the foot in the seal. You want to burn it?
Wait.
What?
Like, what does it say?
It says it teaches you how to kill people and use their souls to kill other people. So we need to burn it. We need to burn it now.
Check against them
before this falls in the wrong hands.
Okay, burn away.
Can I make a bluff check to see if he's bullshitting us?
He would make a bluff check against your insight.
Okay.
Against our passive insight?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I
will passive insight that shit.
Okay.
Make a bluff check.
But if he's not bluffing,
yep.
Though.
14 plus 9, 23.
I believe him.
You think he's telling the truth. He's probably, like, everything that she's saying is probably truthful. Selly, you don't quite know that the gems themselves, once the souls are extracted, are harmful. You don't know what they're for.
Right.
You just know that they are extracted.
Right.
I just didn't want to give you the wrong information.
I'm aware.
Okay.
I go back into the room and decapitate the necromancer.
I leave him to do his business.
What is the mark on what is like that signing off mark? Is it him signing off like with a signature?
Okay,
is
so the way that it sounds is it sounds like he's like saying, like each one ends with something like, "I will provide you with more information as I learn."
Okay. Okay.
So it sounds like either he's going to be sending the journal to somebody, or every entry he makes in the journal is already being read by someone else.
Okay.
Like, the way that he writes is kind of like a conversation he's having without hearing the other side of the conversation.
I see. Our best to burn it. We just gotta burn it.
I leave the room, and I attempt to decapitate the necromancer.
All right, we heard.
I completely ignore that. So, out of character... Does Goldholm have a king?
So the city of Goldholm is like a dwarven city, and dwarves are known to have, they have kings, but the kingdom itself is ruled over by a council. The kingdom of Dagar is ruled over by a council, so he's a king of Goldholm, but he's not a king.
There's a parliament.
I see, but like, because I'm a dwarf, I mostly answer to Goldholm, am I correct?
You determine that of your own volition. If your character answers
to Goldholm,
it's yours.
Alright, so I answer to Goldholm. I answer fucking Goldholm.
Okay.
I don't really care too much about the other kingdoms. I mostly just worry about Goldholm.
Okay, so if that's the case that you want to answer to Goldholm, then I'm going to give you a piece of information about your character, if you don't mind.
Okay, that's fine.
This is something that may or may not...
Can I accept it
later.
Or reject it? Or is just, like, you do this?
I will allow you to accept or reject it.
Okay.
So, Goldholm has... Goldholm, even though they are dwarves, they have a knightlyhood. A group of dwarves that are considered, like, the protectors, almost. They're knights, as far as dwarves go. Because you know how, like, human kingdoms, they have knights, and the knights are known to be,
right.
like... lawful presences that like carry out the will of the king or whatever.
Right.
So in Goldholm they have an order of knights, and they are called the Hardy Advance.
Okay.
Your character can either be a former member of the Hardy Advance or not.
Tortoises are hardy.
Okay, so like if not
of, like, a name for a, I was gonna call it the Burning Advance, but I was like, that's not very dwarven.
The Bearded Advance.
No, that sounds weird. The Hardy Advance is like dwarves are like pretty hardy.
Alright, so I can't be a current member of the Hardy Advance.
I would prefer if your character... Because the Hardy Advance is kind of like a knightly ship that, like, that carries out the orders of the King of Goldtown.
It'd be like the Kingsguard. Why would you be here
you're
being the Kingsguard?
You're more of like a hedge knight than an actual knight. Either you were originally, like, a member of the Hardy Advance, a full knight, and you've decided to go off on your own... Or you were never really a full member, but you're aspiring to become one.
I see. I'm probably going to choose option two.
So you were never really a full member. So you're a dwarf that was born into a lower class of the dwarven class system, but you aspire to become a knight. You aspire to become a member of the Hardy Advance.
Right.
See, fleshing out your character. Good.
That's fine.
So can I make a strength check to chop off the necromancer's head?
No, you have a sword. You just fucking do it.
Okay, can I take...
You spend your time, and you just, like, go over to the necromancer, and you just start hacking away, and you cut off his head.
Okay, can I cut off a piece of his robe and wrap his head inside of it?
Sure.
Can I make a heal check to preserve his head so it
doesn't
rot?
Do I see this happening?
No, he's in another... He just walks out.
All right.
Unless you're like, I'm gonna go cut off his head, and you, like, trot out, Baron just kind of walks out of the room and just leaves.
You mean Kriv?
He doesn't say. Or Kriv.
Don't worry about what Kriv's doing.
Kriv just walks out of the room and just leaves.
Guys, this is the guy we're letting hold all our money.
Yeah, so I burn the book.
Okay.
Wait. I stop him from burning the book.
How do you
burn it? He says stop.
What? We may not know everything about this book. I understand that you've read it, but we are not the most knowledgeable people about what may be in this book.
I'm worried if I give it to someone else, they may think it's something else, and then figure out what it is, and then start killing people. And this is bad, bad magic. So we need to get rid of this book, and the only way we can get rid of a book is to burn it.
Are you sure?
Yes. It went into great detail on how to extract people's souls, turn them to zombie, fucking soulless creatures, and have them kill other people. Like the thing that almost killed the Dragonborn.
I can still hear you.
Be quiet.
Fuck you off.
You're 100% certain about this.
I'm as certain as I possibly can be.
At least you call me Dragonborn this time.
All right. I take the torch from you, and I set it to fire on my own.
Okay.
While they're doing this, I cut off a piece of the Necromancer's robe, wrap his head up in it, and put it in my bag.
Okay.
That's really
you
weird.
You can't really... Like, in order to try to preserve his head, you have to actually have some kind of preserving substances. You can't just preserve it with magical
ability. I mean, you can put it in your bag, but
you're
it's going to smell real, real bad.
It's going to smell really bad. And you have to drain it first, unless you want it to leak out in your bag.
I will take a little bit of time to drain the head.
Okay.
Like, the only head that makes sense to cut off is Medusa's head.
I'm not going to say why I'm doing this. I'm fine.
Okay. All right, so you guys burn the book. Kriv cuts off the head of the necromancer.
I take a last glance in the room.
Okay.
Before I leave.
All right, you just look
anything
around the room.
Anything else that interests me?
There's not really anything else in the room besides for the things that I've already described.
Let the record show that I already switched my robe with the fresh one in the closet.
Okay. The record shows.
You're playing a lot chaotic.
We are going to...
I'm not.
All right, we are going to end there. And we will pick up next week.
Okay.
Yay!
That's the end of episode 6.
Yay. Find out next week what happens to the head of the necromancer that Kriv's got.
Yay.
Or not.
Hey, Drunkards and Dragons.
Thanks for listening, and if you've enjoyed the show, be sure to like our Facebook page at facebook.com/drunkdnd. Subscribe to our channel at youtube.com/drunkdnd. Check out our website at drunkdnd.blogspot.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes under Drunkards and Dragons.